Oh, okay. Good morning, church. Happy Sabbath. Today's scripture reading is held in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2. It says, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save.
Before we begin, will everyone please grab a church pew Bible in front of them if they don't have their own? If you have your own, please turn to Habakkuk. And if you have not your own, please turn to page 924. I believe that's the right page. It's a very short book, and that's what we'll be talking about today. So please, please, I beg of thee, open the Bible and find where we are. It's a curious thing how the Lord brings us around to where he wants us to be and tells us what he wants us to know. If you're not careful, you will miss the beauty of his leading. With God, there are no coincidences, no happenstances. A wonderful thing happened to me this week while I was looking for Habakkuk. I realize now that it all started with Dr. Benjamin Watts. He was my favorite professor at Hartford Seminary. I had taken two classes with him, preaching and pastoral counseling. Last January, when I read on the list that he was going to be teaching another class on a man named Howard Thurman, I said, I'd like to take that class. So I had a biography of him at home, but I ordered another one that would be part of the required reading for the class. As it turned out, I was unable to take Dr. Watts's class. But while I was studying Howard Thurman, I realized that he had written an exposition for one of the books in the Bibles that is found in volume 6 in the Interpreter's Bible series, of which I owned. I put this information somewhere in the shelf of my memory and had all the best intentions of going back and studying Habakkuk. Instead, I went on to my annual yearly reading cover-to-cover Bible stories and reading all of them from Genesis to Revelation. On October 2nd, 2018, I read the daily Bible assignment, which included the book of Habakkuk. It's a three-chapter dialogue between God and the prophet Habakkuk. When reading the footnotes, I saw that the book Habakkuk was one of the first of seven manuscripts that were found among the Dead Sea Scrolls. Because I've seen the Qumran caves, I put this information somewhere on that shelf in my mind in the collection of things to learn about Habakkuk. And yet again, with all the best intentions, I intended to go back and study it someday. Then this new year arrived, and I wanted to do some writing. I looked at the little leather book that I keep on my nightstand for when I read through the Bible and I come across ideas that would be good to write a sermon about. And so I looked through to see what I'd like to write about, and there was one entry that said, Habakkuk. And so I figured I better really study it now. And because my brain was all dusty and cluttered with all this notes, I couldn't for the life of me remember where did I put my notes on Habakkuk. And I was thinking about it, and I thought, oh, maybe I read them in last quarter's quarterlies. I read three of them, and for the quarter, I take all kinds of notes, and I thought, maybe they're in there. But I had already thrown them away. So I had to put on my coat and put on my rubber gloves and go out into the shed and take out all the smelly, dirty, horrible refuse bags of garbage and papers and go through them. Eureka, I found them. And I brought him into the house, and I earnestly sat there, and page by page, I went through these smelly pages. And of course, I did not find my notes, because that was not the shelf that I had put them on. So I went up to my book closet and took down volume 6 to read the commentaries on Habakkuk. Guess who wrote the exposition? Dr. Watts's Howard Thurman. I found him. I found Habakkuk, and I brought him with me today so you could hear him firsthand what he had to say. Hello, my name is Habakkuk. I live in Judah. I'm one of the 12 minor prophets. Now, minor prophets doesn't mean that my book wasn't as important as the major prophets, but it was shorter. That's how they determined it. My colleague and contemporary, Jeremiah, was a major prophet because his book was a lot longer than mine. But we had the same messages to give, and they were given to us from God. And I'm going to tell you what they are. We were both given the same grueling task of predicting the coming of the Babylonian invasion, as well as their ultimate destruction. When the beginning of our prophecy started to be fulfilled, we were both alive and saw it. It was a horrific time in the history of our people. Wickedness, strife, and oppression were rampant in Judah. It seemed that God had left us and would not answer our prayers. We needed him. Our urgency paralyzed us. The pain growing out of our need was so overwhelming that my anguish and frustration spilled over into a deep, mournful, pitiful cry. Before I share with you the message that I was given to write for my people and for you today, I need to say one thing. When God came to those of us who were called prophets, we had no idea what he was going to tell us to say. I can't explain it exactly. It was as if the words we spoke were not our own words. They came from within our minds, in our hearts, but they were put there by God. We did not think up what to say about the political or social situations that were happening around us, and then turn into profound speakers predicting what we thought might happen. No. God's intentions were transmitted through us. His instructions, his reprimands, were given with our voice and our particular personality. But they did not originate with us. It was as if, when the time came for us to speak, the breath of life came out of us. It's hard to explain. The words of the prophets spoken were God's words. It was the strangest sensation to be surprised by the own words that were coming out of my mouth. Do you know what I'm trying to explain? Yes. So this is what happened. God came to me by revelation. There he was, right in front of me. And before he even began to speak, I started to complain. Can you believe it? I was so distraught, embarrassed, and angry by the behaviors of so many of my people. I kept praying and praying for God's help, but he wouldn't listen to me. So look at what he said first. Please follow along with me in Habakkuk. The burden that Habakkuk the prophet received. Now, sometimes people call it an oracle, and sometimes they call it a burden. I'm here to tell you today, it was truly a burden. How long, O Lord, must I call you for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. God didn't even respond to me. He just went right on with what he was going to say anyway. And that is what we see next. The Lord's answer. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if I told you. I'm raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwelling places not their own. They are feared and dreaded people. They are a law unto themselves and promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than the wolves in the evening. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like a vulture sweeping down to devour. They all come bent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. They deride kings and scoff at rulers. They laugh at all the fortified cities. They build up earthen ramps and capture them. Then they sweep past like the wind and go on, guilty men whose own strength is their God. As you can well imagine, I was overwhelmed with what he said. I didn't know what to say. Would you know what to say? I didn't, and so you know what I did? I started complaining again. And here it is. O Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, we will not die. O Lord, you have appointed them to execute judgment. O rock, you have ordained them to be punished. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? You have made men like fish in the sea, like sea creatures that have no ruler. The wicked foe pulls all of them up with hooks. He catches them in his net. He gathers them up in his dragnet, and so he rejoices and is glad. Therefore, he sacrifices his net and burns incense to his dragnet. For by his net, he lives in luxury and enjoys the choicest food. Is he to keep no emptying his net, destroying nations without mercy? I will stand at my watch. I was babbling. I was carrying on. I was being so distraught, I forgot who I was talking to. And all of a sudden, I caught myself. And I said in a much gentler voice, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. So I stood there, and I waited. I waited for God to answer my second complaint, and he did. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelations and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. He was telling me these Babylonians are going to come. They are going to destroy us. However, see, he is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous will live by his faith. Indeed, wine betrays him. He is arrogant and never at rest, because he is as greedy as the graves, and like death is never satisfied. He gathers to himself all the nation and takes captive all the peoples. Will not all of them taunt him with ridicule, scorn, and saying, woe to him who piles up stolen goods and makes himself wealthy by extortion. How long must this go on? Will not your debtors suddenly arise? Will they not wake up and make you tremble? Then you will become their victim. You will become their victim. Because you have plundered many nations, the peoples who are left will plunder you. For you have shed man's blood. You have destroyed lands and cities and everyone in them. Woe to him who builds his realm on unjust gain, to set his nest on high, to escape the clutches of ruin. You have plotted the ruin of many peoples, shaming your own house and forfeiting your own life. The stones of the wall will cry out, and the beams of the woodwork will echo it. Woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed and establishes a town by crime. Has not the Lord Almighty determined that the people labor is only fuel for the fire, that the nations exhaust themselves for nothing? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Woe to him who gives drink to his neighbors, pouring it from the wineskins till they are drunk, so that they can gaze on their naked bodies. You will be filled with shame instead of glory. Now it is your turn. Drink and be exposed. The cup from the Lord's right hand is coming around to you. And the disgrace will cover your glory. The violence you have done to Lebanon will overwhelm you, and your destruction of animals will terrify you. For you have shed man's blood. You have destroyed lands and cities and everyone in them. Of what value is an idol since the man has carved it, or an image that teaches lies? For he who makes it trust in his own creation, he makes idols that cannot speak. Woe to him who says to the wood, come to life, or to the lifeless stone, wake up. Can it give guidance? It is covered with gold and silver. There is no breath in it. But, read with me, but, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. I saw all that destruction, all the violence and the cruelty. I saw God punish our people. I also saw how he destroyed our enemies. And then I prayed. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day, in our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One, from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed. His ways are eternal. I saw the tents of Cushan in distress, the dwellings of Midian in anguish. Were you angry with the rivers, O Lord? Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the sea when you rode with your horses and were victorious chariots? You uncovered your bow. You called for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. Torrents of water swept by the deep roared and lifted its waves on high. Sun and moon stood still in the heavens at the glint of your flying arrows, at the lightning of your flashing spear. In wrath, you strode across the earth. In anger, you threshed the nations. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. With his own spear, you pierced his head when his warriors stormed out to scatter us, gloating as though about to devour the wretched who were in hiding. You trampled the sea with your horses, churning up great waves. I heard in my heart and pondered. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. Yet I wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there is no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. He enables me. Amen. I want to thank Habakkuk for coming today. God led me to him, and I found him just in time. And I look forward to meeting him in heaven. Amen. Heavenly Father, teach us to listen carefully. Help us to know when you are speaking to us and telling us indeed what we need to know in these last days. Thank you for loving us. Amen.